all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also find me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Ian Abston. Ian is an expert in millennial talent attraction and retention. Abston founded Newwalkie in 2008, sold it in 2015, and started Millennium Consulting. Speaking nationally on the emerging trends of this young audience, Abston has worked with both large corporations and civic leaders on strategies and efforts to enhance the quality of life in communities around the U.S. Ian is a proud Eagle Scout, sits on the board for the Salvation Army of Greater Milwaukee, is a member of the Greater Milwaukee Committee, and in 2014 was appointed to the Governor's Talent Development Workforce Committee. Ian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I have lots of things I just want to ask you right away, but wow, millennial talent. This is something that's a huge topic right now, obviously, and big pains in the established business world on how to engage, attract, retain millennials. And I've heard you speak and quoted on things saying, you know, retention is everything, attraction is nothing. What does that mean, and why is this so important? And let's go down that route first.
Awesome. Pick the thing I know most. I started out strong for your listeners. Well, thanks for having me. So I think the big topic of conversation right now is millennials in the workforce, right? Mm-hmm. I am a consultant on this topic. I am myself sick of the word millennials.
Yep.
The good, the bad, the ugly of it. But at the end of the day, we've got corporations and communities speaking a different language than the next generation of people that will be either working there, living there, and playing there. So we spend a ton of money thinking to ourselves, how do we attract, fill in the blank, whether you need new people coming to your community, like the entire state of Wisconsin does. The WEDC just launched a massive advertising campaign to try and lure young workers from Chicago into Wisconsin. And they did it with the traditional methods, right? You're on the side of bus, on billboard. They did some things that are unique, such as, on Pandora stations and where you'd think millennials are spending time.
Yeah.
But the entire idea of attraction to me is complete bullshit, because every community is trying to attract millennials to their workforce, to live, to work, to play. So we're all just buying ads on the freeway trying to get people to move here. Now, I say that I think what the WDC doing there was doing was meant in the best idea, and there's something there. We definitely need to get the word out about Wisconsin and the attributes we have here, because we all live here because we love it, and we want to help tell that story. But I've never seen an advertisement on the side of the bus or a billboard that I've actually acted on, much less got up and moved to a new zip code. So I think it's a little bit ridiculous. So if you stop thinking about attraction and just focus on retention, that's where the real money lies.
Okay.
When I do my speeches, I always use this idea. So Sprint, Time Warner, they know the cost of keeping a new customer compared to the cost of attracting a new customer, which is, we've all experienced this. Suddenly your bill's a little high and you're ticked off, or the cable guy was supposed to come at XYZ time and they didn't. You call them, you complain, and they will cave. It might take one or two people, but they always cave because it is 800% cheaper to keep an existing customer than find a new one. 800%. So you have to focus on retention. So what does that look like as a community? If you have people that live in Milwaukee, you have to make sure their Milwaukee experience is amazing, because we as humans have a tendency to, you know, spend time in these same places and hang out with the same people. And if people are given the opportunity and the chance to explore their communities and really are shown what Milwaukee all has to offer, think about your standard Marquette student. They live in this bubble. They might go to Water Street. Your standard Marquette student goes back home to Chicago on weekends. They've never seen Bradford Beach. They've never been to Brady Street. Mm-hmm. They've never been to Cops Custard, right? Yeah. And we're expecting that kid, 18 years old, coming in, 22 years old when they leave. And we're saying, now pick your future. Which city do you want to live in? And they want to live in a cool city with vibrancy and culture. And you're not going to get that in the bubble. And shame on us for not creating opportunities for these people to explore and go elsewhere. And much is like that for corporations. We've got HR in every corporation looking to spend money to go out and attract the next person. Meanwhile, they've got six people that are unhappy with work and currently looking at new jobs.
Yep.
$7,000 is what the current attraction budget is for you to go out and get a new employee. That means onboarding and hiring, you know, someone to find connected with jobs, et cetera. So that's $7,000. What happens? What do you do when you get that employee? What is your retention budget?
Yep.
So every corporation has an attraction budget, as do communities. Sure. No one has the retention budget. So that's what I try and look for and get the point across most to people.
I think that's really interesting is the pain is the workforce development and attracting millennials within the businesses, but you're scaling that even bigger and looking at it from the community perspective. And I think mm-hmm. that's really, really important because everything that's happening at the community level can be then embedded in at that within that business or company, regardless of if it's 5 employees or 500 employees.
What we're starting to see right now is companies are starting to realize talent in the city of Milwaukee is becoming their problem. Who the hell's problem is it? Whose job is it to attract people to Milwaukee or Wisconsin or Madison, whatever it might be? No one's job. It's no one's job. We say, hey, visit Milwaukee. Well, their heads in beds. They want tourists. Yeah, uh-huh. Move here. Great. But sure. I mean, they're funded by hotels primarily. Yeah. And the WEDC, what the hell would they know? I mean, they've got to go out and survey people and get more. It's not their core competency. And then you've got Travel Wisconsin, these other tours that are like aimed at tourism. Yep. There's no actual entity that's responsible for this. So we all end, hey, mayor, why aren't you doing anything about this? Not his job. He's supposed to make sure you get clean water and balance the budget. And those things were even complicated right now. So businesses right now are starting to take note and starting to voice their opinions that, hey, I can't find talent. And we now have to collectively do something about it because I've been complaining about it for so long. So it is definitely the talent's market right now. Young people are able to find jobs and find opportunities that are more specific to them. Yeah. And it's an interesting time in the economy.
So what is it? And I know you're saying attracting isn't the focus, but what is it that these millennials are attracted to then?
I'd say culture is king.
Okay.
Right. You as a corporation can go out and sponsor all the and sponsor stuff and have your name on all these cool events. And you're at Summerfest and the Pabst Riverside and all that. But then all of a sudden someone gets into your office and it's drab and it's cubicle land and there's no open office policy and you can't work from home or you can't dress casually certain days and there's no flexible office hours. And all those are things that millennials want that I just mentioned, but at the end of the day, it's a culture fit. You want to know what is expected of me, and I will work for you. I'll work hard for you, but it's got to be on my terms. Yep. And that's a really interesting thing that new employees are able to demand. Let me make this point. There is no difference between the wants and needs between the millennial generation and the older generations. There just isn't. We all want the same things, mm-hmm. happiness, sense of purpose. It's just we right now are in a spot where we can be more demanding of what we want out of our workplaces, and they are put in a spot where they have to react. And if they don't react, they're going to die. You're seeing, I don't know what it's like to work in Kohl's Corporation right now, but they're focused out in Menominee Falls, and I know they've got a lot of unhappy workers that are heading out there day to day. Turnover is a problem and the core culture over there sucks. And they've got to realize that and adjust. And if they don't adjust, Bonton will show you what you can turn into.
Sure. Sure. So what's interesting, I saw some data a couple weeks ago, I want to say, and I'll try to find this. When you're looking at culture and the big brands, Google has an average employees there for like a year and a half to 2 years. Apple, average employees there for a year and a half and 2 years. And they're supposed to be like the king of culture in those, in those places. So speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So those are companies that have a business model figured out where they can crank out really good talent, work you to the bone, and spin you out. Now, they don't spin out and leave. Look at also, let's look more locally, Epic in Madison. Yeah. That's a really good example as well. They're, your average employee there is definitely, I don't know the exact number, but somewhere between 2 and 3 years.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're spinning out and now they're becoming consultants that work for other companies that support these companies. So it's actually really good for an Apple, a Google, an Epic, because they come in, they understand the system, they understand how to work well. Then they spin out and they want to work for a smaller company with a little bit different culture, but they're able to support the culture of Google, get an amazing paycheck, and do it a little bit more on their own terms.
Yep.
But they're only able to give that, get that opportunity because they have the past work experience of Google.
Yeah.
And let's face it, unless you work in a corporation, you don't know why that corporation is good or bad.
Yep.
So you have to like dip your toe in the corporate Kool-Aid, find out what it's about, and then make your decision on why it works for you or doesn't. And those companies have business I mean, but also if you're the top 1% there, top 5%, they're going to figure out a way to keep you.
Sure. If they're
and then
smart.
And a lot of them are. And it's not just you can work from anywhere and you've got massive crazy benefits and paid vacations and forced paid vacations, in fact. And they figure out how to keep their top 1%. I mean, you can find an accountant anywhere, but the best accountant who thinks entrepreneurially, who can work with others in a collaborative environment, now that's something that you're not willing to let go. So they're going to make sure they keep that person or at least keep them within arm's reach. Because let's face it, when you might want to spin off and Google and Apple and Epic, they have this great entrepreneurial cultures and you might spin out to then do something on your own and become a consultant for them. But you also might find maybe it's not for you and you want to tuck back into that corporate culture. And they've got exit strategies that, hey, we want you might leave, but we know you might come back.
Sure.
So we're going to help provide you whatever you need to make your next transition good.
Yep.
And also because we know you're going to talk. And if you decide to quit and we make a big deal out of it and give you a box and say, get out of here immediately, you're going to tell 10 people that you had a really shitty experience at that company.
Yep.
But if you provide a good soft landing and say, here's my card, call me if you ever need anything, I'm happy to help. Think of us in the future again. All of a sudden you tell 10 of your friends that, hey, that was a really good, that's the good taste that you've been left in your mouth.
That's that networking thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And people will tell people. People talk.
They sure do. You know, it's interesting as you're speaking, some things are coming to my mind. And obviously, you're not the only person on this planet talking about millennial talent.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the conversation that I've heard is just embrace them and get as much as you can out of them for that time period that they're going to stay with you and not put a lot of energy on how can I retain them.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just give them a good experience and make them, you know, the best that they can be and get the best work out of them in that time period. What is your thoughts on that?
So I definitely see that. There is some of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're always billed as this entrepreneurial generation. That's not true for everyone. There's also intrapreneurs, right? There's people that want to look for efficiencies and create great change, but they want to do it within a soft corporate setting, right? So look next door at Northwestern Mutual. They've got they're hiring people that are entrepreneurial minded, but maybe they, you know, live on the North Shore or the West Side and they've got a kid or two at home and they're not willing to take that risk that the 25-year-old would, but they still have the desire to create and find white space and solve a solution. Well, great, do that, but do it for us and within us. So you're giving these people opportunities to solve problems that are specific to your corporation, become entrepreneurs, grind at crazy hours, but do it on your terms and help solve problems within a corporation. So yes, there's not a lot of loyalty as there once was, right? We saw, as I was graduating college, it was a completely different work environment and coming out of a recession. And I was watching friends of my parents who had been loyal to companies for 40 plus years have their pensions removed overnight. Right.
Yeah.
And that's
painful.
And that's something like, I remember that almost as much as I remember 9/11, right? There's experiences in your life that define you.
Yep.
I've been defined as a young person, not going to, love a corporation. I will not be loyal to a corporation, right? Now, I'll be loyal to them as a consultant. If you want my best 10 hours a week, I will do that. You will pay me for my time, for my mind, for my good work. But honestly, I don't want to completely saddle up to you because the market's volatile. There's people are volatile. There's a lot of things that can happen within corporate America. And no matter if you're a great employee or not, they can happen to you. And I want to make sure I spread out my risk.
Yeah.
And that includes where I work. I think the future of work tends to be a lot different. Your best employees, you're only going to get in for 10 hours a week, right? They want to spend 10 thoughtful hours. And that's not a bad thing. Their best 10 hours they want to spend with you and another 10 hours working for someone else. And if you can get maximum productivity out of their 10 hours, great.
Yeah.
I mean, as we just, we're HR has not evolved in decades. And we keep thinking your employee, we need you for 40 hours a week and, you know, company car, this, that. But the gig economy is the future. Mm-hmm. Manpower is learning that. There's a lot of corporations that are understanding that the future of work doesn't look like 40 hours and a parking stall anymore.
Yep.
We're going to figure that out real soon with our we're the king of corporate headquarters. We've got more per capita than most other cities in the U.S. here. And HR has to evolve for the demands, the needs of the next generation of work.
Totally. Really, really good information. Thanks for enlightening us with all this fascinating information and just the future that's coming ahead. But let's spin the topic to some networking real quick.
Do it.
Can you share with our listeners the your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
So I'll share a couple, and I won't shy much from the millennial piece here,
okay.
Right? So experience is king with millennials, and that ties closely with culture. So if I'm so focused right now where I'm pivoting in my personal journey is the top 1%. These are the, right now in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we've got the next creator of Harley Davidson, the next Northwestern Mutual. Those kids are here. They're working on something and they're the best of the best. What are we doing to keep those top 1%ers, right?
Yep.
We've got these broad ass marketing approaches, just like trying to say, hey, Wisconsin, move here. But there's a kid here that's going to create a job someday that will employ 5,000 people. How do we make sure that person does that in Milwaukee? We don't lose them to the coast. Right now, we don't have that strategy.
Yep.
So as far as networking, I'm less is more, right? Coming from Milwaukee, and I loved every bit of it, but the world we were in was how do we get maximum amount of people to this event at this place? Night Market, for example, phenomenal event, brings the city together, but there's 15,000 people there. How do you create that experience where the right person can meet the other right person? So I'm really interested right now in creating opportunities for the brightest to meet the brightest and build relationships, build roots. That's what's going to keep you in the community, right? If Chicago offers you a job for $15,000 more, and we've done such a good job of helping you establish relationships and grow roots in this community, you're going to pass that job up because as a 30-year-old, you know how hard it is to make new friends and find a new Wolski's to close at bar time, et cetera. I mean, there's culture here and if we can help create those roots here. So I'm going to back to your question. I'm looking for really unique things and experiences that you can't get elsewhere. So my friend and I went in on a shitty pontoon boat this last summer. And we parked it on the Milwaukee River. It's not the best boat you're ever going to see, but it gets the trick done. And I have an opportunity then once a week when we take this out to trap 10 really amazing people on it, give them food, drink, coffee, whatever it might be, and just roll around Milwaukee from a perspective that other people don't always get. And the conversations that come out of just sitting across from someone in a boat is beautiful, and and they're in depth. And oftentimes we park it, get out, and people don't want to leave because they're meeting people they haven't met before. Or even if you've known them for 10 years, you're generally at a cocktail meeting with this person, and you don't get much past how's the kids, how the fam, good. All of a sudden you're sitting there talking like, hey man, how's your business doing? What are the business problems you're having? Oh, do you know a guy? And all of a sudden their networks start colliding and people start sharing and going more in depth. And that's the shit that I think creates stickiness to a community.
Yeah.
If I can help get the best of the best, the smartest, those who are most well-positioned, care the most about the city, to connect with one another, deepen relationships with themselves in Milwaukee, that's how I can make my best impact. So to that, a boat.
That's awesome. I love that approach. And it's unlike, you know, going to an event where you can easily sneak out. You kind of trapped them, like you said.
Well, think about your everyday conversations. Yeah. There's people I've known for 10 years. I haven't gotten past cocktail talk with them. Like, I honestly haven't. It's the work good. What are you drinking? I'll grab you one. Yeah.
Busy.
Man, we should catch up sometime.
Yeah.
Finger point, gun salute, and then that's that.
Your network is very extensive. And I'm curious, what do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
I'll break that down into two answers. How do you best nurture it? I always roll through my calendar. I write things down. I am very thoughtful of the network. And I try, and how do you nurture it? It's by doing people favors. I think you're talking about social capital. That's what you do. Mm. I've got probably a decade worth of social capital built up in Milwaukee by connecting like-minded people to other like-minded people. You'd be surprised, as we call this small walkie, but oftentimes there's someone who's been in an office building right next door to someone for a decade, and they love to, they both shoot hoops, they just do it in different gyms, they both have three-year-olds, they just live in different communities. And if I'm able to understand two people and say, I think you'd have a lot in common with this person, that's how I'm able to nurture that network. And not just peers, but also I've, with Milwaukee and with my current job, I'm in a unique position where I often get to be the youngest guy in the room.
Okay.
And I have the fortunate opportunity to then establish relationships with current executives. So, good mentors of mine are Julia Taylor of the GMC and Rich Musin from Badger Meter and Bob Monnet from Mandel Group. These are some people that are currently leading the city, doing really interesting shit and doing it in a different way that I can really learn from, because you're kind of feet to the flames and you don't quite understand how to get things done in the community. And I am in a unique set where I'm 34, so I know a lot of some of the 22-year-olds coming up, and I know the bands that are at the rave, et cetera, but then I also know the events happening at the Milwaukee Athletic Club and the U Club and the private events. So if I can nurture the network by connecting today's leaders with tomorrow's leaders, those that are even younger than I am, that's really interesting. So if I can help that today's 25-year-old who's got a really good idea and a passion, maybe a business, and that business might fail, but the next idea might be cool.
Yeah.
If you can inspire that person if you can help them get connected to someone that can further their cause, their idea, their love for the city, I kind of view myself as much of a middleman.
Yeah, that's really cool. A phrase I heard recently that I'm very much intrigued by is reverse mentoring. So actually pairing up that younger mindset with the older one, and just kind of, because it can go both ways, but really allowing that younger person to communicate their ideas with the world, and having that more senior experienced individual guide, but vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. It goes both ways. So that's what it sounds like you're doing.
Yeah. This is a term I heard I live by this. It's change happens at the speed of trust. Change happens at the speed of trust. So I think of all the time I've spent on committees and I call these time sucks now, right? This thing you've committed to, and it's a reoccurring every Friday, and you're like, shit, I know we're going to go in there, we're going to leave, and nothing's going to happen, right? And that happens because all of a sudden this group gets together and we're like, hey, we're going to fix X, and fill in the blank for whatever that might be. But the people in the room have no idea who each other are. They don't know the background. They don't know the backstory. They don't actually know why people are there in the room to begin with. So I'm trying to leverage my network to make sure I can deepen those connections so that there's actually trust built in.
Yep.
So that when the opportunity arises, when there's something that we all care so much about and we decide to act, our shields are a lot thicker because we understand dynamics of one another. That trust is built in. And when you then need to unify and solve a problem, it's a lot better to do it. It's a lot easier to do it with people you know and ones you have a working relationship with. And you can be a lot more effective that way as well. And people are then using, like, they trust one another and they trust their networks as well. I understand you're trying to solve a problem and I know the perfect guy I should introduce you to.
Yeah.
But then I'm burning my social capital on that person if I introduce you to him if I know you're trying to sell life insurance or something like that. You're not going to get an intro into the C-level execs. But if you're if you might sell life insurance on the side, but really what you're trying to do is, you know, help out the Humane Society on this thing that's coming up. And I know, you know, Bob over at Mandel loves dogs and animals and he might be willing to participate. Then I'm doing you both a favor by connecting you both.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wow. That was a lot to take in, but it was good. But I love that. I love that change happens at the speed of trust. And there's so much truth to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking to you look at our political environment today and right, left, or in between, doesn't matter. The fact is we've got a governor who doesn't like our mayor. Uh-huh. And, you know, we're the largest city in the state of Wisconsin. There should be a great working relationship there.
Yeah.
And I understand why, right? They ran against each other multiple times and that trust has probably been chinked. But man, we've got the leader of our state and the leader of our largest city that don't trust one another. And we're seeing problem after problem. And then we've got the county board and the issues they have. And they're having massive trust issues. And we're not getting a lot done because we're spending a lot of time fighting. And maybe that's a byproduct of power. I'm not entirely sure. But I'm looking at the people that are my age that are getting things done in the city and moving the needle. And it's collaboration and cooperation. And there's not a lot of – people don't have power, but power only – exists when you put together the little piece of power and influence you have with other people and their pieces of power and influence, and you create that as power.
Yeah.
But one person arguing with another, that's just bickering.
Yeah.
And we've been seeing a lot of that. So trust. Change happens at the speed of trust.
That's powerful. Okay. So a little switch to the topic then. What advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
So I currently happily am on a couple of boards, and I would say that is the best access you have. So going back, here's what I joined the Milwaukee Athletic Club when I was younger because someone told me to do that, and I couldn't afford it at the time, but I've gotten an amazing network of people out of there, right? You know, you're swimming in the pool next to a Barry Mandel, you're shooting free throws next to a Ted Kellner. And I'm not saying those relationships are deep and personal, but they're there. And it happened at that location. And it's different. Imagine normally, hey, Barry, I'd like to set up a meeting. And here you are outside on the other side of his probably giant oak desk.
Yeah.
And you want to pitch him on your idea. And he's got 15 minutes till his next appointment. Or you could accidentally run into that person in the lounge at the locker room and just have a conversation about that. So I'd say find out where the executives are hanging out and find a way to get into that. So I'm not a golfer. I play basketball. I hear I should. If I was a golfer, maybe I'd give you that advice. But to be honest, it bores me. I really like playing basketball and I've met a lot of great people through that way. But I'd say number one, the best thing you can do is get on a board.
Yep.
Think of the people that are successful. They have resources to return to the community that made them successful, and they're spending their time, energy, resources on fill-in-the-blank cause. We'll say Urban Ecology Center. That's near and dear to my heart. And they're giving their time and energy to making sure the Urban Ecology Center will thrive. And if you're a young person, you're saying, I'd love to volunteer to help ensure inner city kids are connected to Milwaukee River and nature and understand why it's so important not to litter and to keep Milwaukee clean, et cetera, et cetera. And you find yourself across from a boardroom table with that executive and passionately talking about the same issue. That's where you're going to meet someone.
Totally.
And then that executive be far more willing to take a meeting with you and discuss.
Yeah.
And that opens that door. But I'd say find your passion and go donate some time around that passion and you will find executives that share that passion with you.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's that common ground.
Yep,
right?
Absolutely.
That opens that door.
Yeah, because you only have, in that other situation, you might both have taken a trip to Spain and you both speak fluent Spanish and you get to hit that up. But are you going to get to that in the 15 minutes you've got across that oak desk Absolutely not.
Yeah. Correct.
Absolutely not.
Yep. Yep. It's funny because I remember my early years, I was told, you know, if I'm in sales to look off around the office and identify, you know, what is it? There's golf clubs in the corner. I have a conversation about golf clubs. Or there's this little trophy of whatever and start talking about that and try to find that connection. And it's you can't even get in the room anymore. So that's why this is a great strategy.
Yeah, totally.
Good. All right. So I'm really interested in your input on this because my assumption is one way based on the conversation we've had thus far. But digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Is there such a thing as traditional networking anymore? as I said before, I'm super interested in growing the roots. And in a world of social networking, I am trying to take a deep breath and realize the importance of that face-to-face as well. And there are some people that can do the digital networking and LinkedIn stalk you and have very verbose conversations online and maybe even in Skype. But I need to sit across from you and share a coffee from Stone Creek and crack a beer with you on a rooftop and look you in the eyes. And that is the way I prefer to build my relationships, but also connect people. So I'm interesting for only about 30 minutes. I'm interesting and interested only for 30 minutes unless we're talking about something I'm passionate about. But if I can take that meeting and bring three or four people together that might not know each other, then it becomes productive and far more interesting. Mm-hmm. And that's not something you're able to do on a Skype call or on Facebook. Yep. Now, those things can be tools to lead into the funnel, but I'm just maybe a little bit more old school and trying to be excited about the face-to-face community that's being built.
Okay, so I'm going to just throw this at you now, that millennial space and how they've – you just kind of shared some information about, okay, the attracting was using billboards and all this, you know, traditional means. How do you think networking will be evolving with the millennial mindset here?
You know, that's a great question. And keep in mind, I'm in the older half of the millennials, right? I'm 34. So there's some, you know, 18-year-olds that are running around that would, you know, are probably not even listening to podcasts because they're on some technology I've never even heard of, right? I'm watching what's happening in Florida. That's really, really interesting. And politics aside, what you're seeing of the youth of that generation and how they're leveraging social media to create change, not just a little change and not just a little bit of talking point, but is every news station I'm reading about, they have figured out a way to take that tragedy and turn it into change. And I am 34. I'm like, what the hell have I done in life that is impactful as those kids? They took a tragedy and turned it into something that is now fueling a national conversation. So I don't pretend to know the answers of what that looks like. I also know when I was 18, my values today completely changed compared to what it was like then. So when I was 18, I wanted to talk to everyone, right? And I wanted to be friends with everybody. And now I'm like, I want to grow relationships with these 50 people over here because we share core values or sense of community, whatever that might be. So no matter even the best networkers at the age of 18, things evolve and you have a family or a serious relationship or a job. And I think even though you are currently high on Twitter right now, maybe that same person who is an influencer today on Instagram might not even use that social media form 10 years from now.
Yep.
Instagram won't even be around 10 years from now.
So
those YouTube stars today, congratulations for being influencers. Do all you can. There's another technology coming hot up behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. And this kind of fuels into my next question. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I would have gotten involved more. I mean, even going back to college, what did I actually learn in college? The marketing degree. I can't say anything within school that truly prepared me. What you get out of an education is like you're trainable, right?
Yep.
I am willing to follow the rules for 4 years and enough to at least pass with a C minus average. Here's your degree. But what I got most out of college, like I joined the advertising club. We started hosting events and I got to meet people and develop relationships that way and take risks and fall on my ass and get back up and make the same mistake again. And those aren't risks you're allowed to take within the classroom. The best thing I could do was join the marketing club, the advertising club, volunteer for the school thing, whatever that was. That's what I could, if I could go back and do it, not like I tried that hard in school. I got a lot out of, going out afterwards and meeting people that way and understanding how people socialize, et cetera. But, if I could have gone back and done it all over again, I would have joined a club when I was young and got super involved and got a leadership position in it and got access to, the right alumni associations, et cetera. And I didn't build up those networks, when I was younger. And right when I, started the workforce, I wasn't volunteering. And if I could go back day one, I would have, started getting involved in the Urban Ecology Center, Salvation Army, and said, how can I help? And they give you some crappy little task. If you do it and show up the next day, they'll give you a better task. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you've got a seat at the table as a young person, because we just have to get more involved.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. Good input right there. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
Probably. I'm super fascinated with the Dalai Lama.
Okay.
And that sounds like a very general answer, but that's like, hey, that is a spiritual leader that is known for creating peace and love worldwide. I'm like, man. That sounds cool. That's way, way more impressive than the president of the free world. Hopping inside that guy's head, understanding in this world of social media and everything is immediate and now, and communication is now, someone that has mastered inner peace and self, that is interesting because we all struggle with that every day, right?
Sure.
We all go to work, punch the clock, take that extra meeting, work that extra hour because you're looking for something. And that guy has it figured out. That's what we all strive for. So as you're seeing an increase in, depression rates amongst young people, social media is doing some crazy things to our brains that we have yet to figure out and may never figure out. But the long-term effects of social media seem to be good and bad, and the bad seems very bad. So mental health continues to be a struggle for young people. So you're going to continue to see that being driven.
So do you think you could connect within the 6th degree?
Yeah.
Where would you start that journey?
Oh, boy. I've got a buddy who's super into Eastern culture, who travels quite a bit. I would get a plane ticket with him. We'd go roll. That would be one.
Okay.
And I would depend heavily on him. Well, and my backpack as we journey.
You just need one starting point.
Need one starting point to go. Anything's possible, though.
I do have to say you are the second person that has mentioned the Dalai Lama.
Shit.
So not original thought here.
No. Man, I wish I would have put a little more thought into
that. No, it's a great one, actually. I think it's a great one. That's good. That's interesting. I like your perspective. So entrepreneurs, in my experience, are constantly reading and trying to learn new things and educate themselves on latest, greatest, or old, tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
So what book are you reading right now?
Oh, boy. I've got the tendency to pick up a book, read 15 pages, and then get excited about the new book. Entrepreneurs are also always chasing the next flashing thing.
Sure they are.
I am no different. So I think I've got a couple of books. The one you keep, there's a couple of business books on the table, which are 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Fantastic.
Yep. There's Good to Great. Yep. I always listen to a ton of podcasts, if you consider that reading, because I will, because it's the lazy man's read. And those I'm always listening to a bunch of those. So
I like
Entrepreneur on Fire. Yep. I'm always on NPR. Yep. I love local news. And then I realized, oh man, I actually don't visit New York Times all that often. So just recently I started getting Cranes, which is so I can understand what's going on in Chicago. That's a big opportunity for us that it's only 90 minutes away. I love taking the train, but I have no idea what's going on in that city. So reading Cranes really helps understand just regionally a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And then subscribing to the New York Times because I was you finally get that one article you're really interested in reading and all of a sudden it's your 10th of the month.
Yeah.
And you get a paywall and you're like, all right, I'm just going to bite it and get this going. Gary Vee is some interesting, whatever the hell that guy is pushing out. I always find it interesting because he's high energy. He could be saying absolutely nothing, but he says it in a way that makes me engaged.
Totally. Mm-hmm. He's figured that out.
Yeah, he's got it down. I got super into Serial when that came out.
Yep.
Part one, not part two. Part two sucked.
That's what I hear from a lot of
but
people.
Yeah, the original Serial was super interesting to me. And then I steal my buddy's Audible account.
Okay.
So whatever he's listening to. And last month, it was this like 50-part series on the Roman Empire.
Oh, wow.
And I tried reading it and it puts you right to sleep. The content might be great, but I can't get over the monotone voice that this guy brings to the equation. And it's like lights out.
Interesting.
So I will continue to listen to chapter one on that as a bedtime story.
Yeah. Well, that is important to have too.
Yeah, take that.
Entrepreneurial minds definitely need help going to sleep sometimes.
So. We'll take it. We'll take it.
All right, Ian, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Pick a thing you're passionate about. Get involved, and you're going to surround yourself with like-minded people, with like-minded causes, and it will work itself out. You have to be authentic. People can smell when you're in the room for the wrong reasons. And that authenticity will bleed through. So don't get in the room because you want to necessarily just have access to the audience, but get in that room because you care. And you are going to find doors open for you in surprising ways because people are going to see the authentic you, your authentic self, and find the things that you really care about. And they're going to want to help you for your professional journey because you have things that collide and align. Yeah.
Totally. Really good advice. And authenticity is extremely important.
Yeah. People I hope you can edit out that hour and a half pause break in between you asking the question and me answering it. That'd be helpful.
For sure. If anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Oh, just come to my door. Knock on my address is 13. I'm kidding.
That's a first.
Yeah, right. Just knock. Just knock. If my fiance answers the door, just say, come sit on the couch and I'll be back any minute. My email address is ian.mke@gmail.com.
Okay.
Find me on Facebook or Twitter. I don't tweet.
Okay.
I don't know if you can communicate on Instagram. I rarely do. I'm a Facebook guy.
You can send
I rarely check LinkedIn. Messages. Yeah, yeah. I'm the worst millennial because I hate the tech shit. I'm bad at it. Email me.
Okay. We will include that information in the show notes.
All right. Beautiful. Well, thank you kindly for the time and go Packers.
Yeah. Oh, nice little plug there. Thanks so much for being on the show. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Ian for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.